Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, hello, praise the Lord. Welcome. Excited to see you tonight, even though I can't see you. Hallelujah, I'm excited. I have a word of wisdom from the Lord today. And this is something the Lord was reminding me of today. He taught me this many years ago, and it has helped me a lot in my walk in the Lord. And I'm going to call this the silo effect. And so that phrase is actually, a silo is actually a phrase used in business a lot. In the companies that I used to work with, a silo was when, let's say you had many teams, you know, I worked for large corporations, and so there were many teams of people that often had to work together. So you weren't just working with a team. You were often working with people who had knowledge in your team, but you might be working with people who had knowledge different from your team. And often you have a very large project that might encompass 5 to 10 teams of people who have varying knowledge about the business. And so what used to happen, they had this phrase called silo, and it was not considered a good thing. And what happened is if somebody held meetings and didn't include the right information or the right teams, they would be making decisions, it was said, in a silo. In other words, they were making decisions without all the information. So they would sometimes prepare a large project, maybe even estimate that project, maybe even come up with a plan and an estimate that was totally wrong because it was done, quote, in a silo. And so what that means is they didn't have all the right information. They weren't paying attention. They were just focused on their end of it and not really, they didn't encompass enough information. And so I'm calling this that because God gave me a concept some years ago, and he actually gave me a little picture or vision. And the vision was this. It was a woman at like a buffet restaurant. And she had, let's say, 4 or 5 children. And so she let the kids loose to go to the buffet. And of course, all of the kids raced to the buffet and they went straight for the brownies. They went straight for the dessert. And so what the Lord said to me is, this is what my children are like. My children go for what interests them, not always going for the vegetables, not always going for the rounded meal in terms of his food, right? So what he showed me is that sometimes in the body, we have people who are fascinated by one subject and they become maybe even somewhat of an expert on that subject, but they don't balance their spiritual meals, so they have very little or no knowledge of another subject, and it causes them to either stumble or fall away later on. And so just one example is, if you've ever, sometimes people will be just fascinated by the end times. Now, that's not wrong. It's not wrong to have an emphasis you love, but if you don't, you know, eat your vegetables, if you don't deal with some of the other things you need to know, that can cause you to stumble later. So, for example, a person who focuses their life and their studies all on the end times, that's a good thing, and they may be able to help others with that. But there is some knowledge they're going to need to have of healing sooner or later. And if they don't have that, then when an issue arises, maybe they're not an expert in healing. And we aren't called to be experts in everything, but we are called to know the full circle of the scriptures so that we're not like the weeds in the parable of the sower. Some of those 3/4 of those seeds did not make it. You know, some of those seeds never made it because of their circumstances, right? Some the weeds came in and choked them. Some they didn't take enough root. So 3/4 of those seeds, 3 out of 4 of those seeds did not make it. They may have made it for a little while. And so a lot of times in the kingdom, we see people who make it for a little while, right? They make it for a while and then for whatever reason, they aren't stable or something happens that's too much, and you just never hear about them anymore. You call to check on them and they're kind of off doing something else, and they're kind of, you know, kind of walked away a little bit from the Lord. Doesn't mean they don't love him, but you can see that a failure has happened. And I'm not judging that. What I'm trying to do is prevent that. And so for me, when God showed me this picture of a person who only went for what interested them, and of course, there were things that interested me more than other things, right? I was always fascinated by the walk of the Spirit. I'm fascinated by the idea of finishing our course. I have a number of things I'm more interested in, but what I saw was, if I want to stand and keep standing, if I want to be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, there's some stuff I need to do besides just follow my interests at the banquet table. So I'm going to give you an example of this. I knew a lady, and I really respected her and admired her and loved her, and I considered her my friend. And what I knew of her was she had a great knowledge of the prophetic move. She followed a lot of the kind of big name prophets. She would travel anywhere to hear certain prophets, and she had a real love of the Lord. She had a love of the prophetic. She had a love of the Holy Spirit. And so I did not understand this concept at that time. And so one day we were having lunch, and this woman began to tell me, and I'll be honest up front, I did not probably respond the right way because I was so surprised. But she began to tell me about her marriage. She was not happy in her marriage. She did not love her husband and never had. He loved her very much, and she was very open about this. He had been faithful to her. He had not cheated on her, but she was not happy in the marriage and did not love him. And so she began to tell me that she actually had made plans to find another husband. And she actually had made this decision, even though her husband had not cheated on her, that she was going to lose some weight. She actually didn't look like she needed to lose any weight, but she was going to go jogging. She was jogging to lose weight so she could find the next guy, when in fact her husband had never been unfaithful. Well, I honestly was so shocked because I thought, have you never read the scriptures? You know, I didn't say that, but I did say something like, wait a minute, wait, and he has never cheated on you. No. So in my mind, the scriptures are pretty clear on this. If your spouse did not cheat on you, you don't actually have scriptural right to dump them. And so I probably said the wrong thing, and I never saw my friend again. And I was very sad because I really liked her, but I didn't really think about it at that time. But later on, it began to be clear to me that she had become really strong in understanding prophetic flow, but really a baby in terms of walking in integrity or character or understanding what the Word really says that we're to do. And so at first I grieved and grieved because she was my friend and I lost my friend that day. And I felt terrible. I felt like I'd said the wrong thing. I blamed myself. But this was years ago, and as I've looked at this of late, I now think I probably should have talked to her more about it to help her understand, because while I thought I was dealing with a mature Christian, I think what I was dealing with was a baby who had learned about one small corner of the kingdom, because that's what was interesting. And that's why we call it a silo. Right, a silo, if you see a silo out in the farms, the landscape is flat, completely flat, right? But there's this giant silo sticking way up, right? And so that's why they call it a silo, because it's uneven. And that's why they call it that in business. So one other example, back in the 90s, I had two friends, and I did not ever talk about myself or any of the things the Lord had called me to do. And at the time I went to a church, and Edgar and I were going to this church, and I was very, very quiet about the things the Lord had told me. I told them nothing about myself. And these two women, they were good friends and they were intercessors. And one of them in particular was extraordinarily accurate. And she had had many visions and dreams for some reason about me. They felt called to serve me, but this was before I was doing much in public. I was doing a few things, but they didn't know that. And so God was speaking to them a lot. And I was amazed at the accuracy. They knew stuff that nobody knew, stuff I had not told anyone they knew, things that God had told me by the Spirit they knew. And so I, again, did not understand this concept of the silo. And I did not realize that though they were extraordinarily accurate in the Spirit, that emotionally, one in particular was really damaged. And so this pair, these friends, actually ended up almost destroying our ministry, and because of an emotional wound. And we didn't even, you know, we were kind of dumb about it. We didn't even know we had hurt their feelings. We didn't do anything that we knew would hurt their feelings, but somehow their feelings were hurt, and they went for the jugular. And so here again, you have somebody that seems really spiritual and was really accurate and was. So here we have a silo. Here we have an area that's very, very advanced, way above other people, and the emotional realm way, way undeveloped. And so one of the things that God told me about that is that a person can be spiritually advanced in an emotional mess. Or they can be emotionally pretty strong, but not know enough about the Word of God, right? So whatever realm we are not developed in, that's the area where Satan can sometimes take us out, right? If you're spiritually attuned, but your emotions are not healed, if you're not walking in wholeness, Satan will clobber you in that area and maybe even take you out. Or if you, let's say you know a lot about the Word of God, but you're not spiritually developed, you can get clobbered in that area, right? If you don't understand the realm of the Spirit. And so these are silos, or it's another way of saying you're good at one thing, but really bad at the other things. And so one of the things, when God began to teach me about this, I began to think, how can I develop my spiritual muscles in every area? Now, I still have special interests. But if you look at like this, you know, all the series that I teach, they pretty much are a very broad spectrum. And one of the things that happened to me is I began to ask God, this was years ago, but I began to ask God himself to disciple me, to teach me himself. But more than that, we all probably listen to messages. We all read books, right, that are written by Christian authors. We all read the Bible. We all do Bible studies. But I began to seek the Lord to lead me in, what do I study next? What book would you have me read next? What message would you have me listen to? Or are there certain teachers? And I'll never forget, Edgar and I were, we were momentarily without a home, and we were living in a little camper, and we were visiting a woman, and we were visiting her home. And I said to the Lord, you know, I really want you to disciple me. I want you to decide what I listen to, what I read. I want you to determine what my next book is and what, you know, because I don't know enough. You know, let me just take a little tangent here. When I first got into IT, I knew that I needed to learn a lot. I'd been to school for it, but school did not cover the kind of stuff we did in the real world, to be honest. And the problem I had is I didn't know what it was I didn't know. So I didn't know what questions to ask. And I remember most of the people were not very kind, to be honest. But there was one guy who had a kind heart, and he wanted to help me. I was very young. And he kept coming up to me, teaching me about this thing called JCL. This was in the olden days. And I remember thinking, why does he keep talking to me about this JCL stuff? And I'm thinking, okay, A, I don't know what you're talking about. B, it looks like code. And C, it's very boring. But what he was doing was he was telling me something that I didn't have enough sense to ask questions about, because he knew that I would need to know it. And so in Christianity, it's kind of the same. We don't always know what questions to ask. You know, I'm big on saying ask your questions of God, but how do I ask about something that's outside my realm? Right. And so what I have to do is say, Lord, you need to help me. I need you to help me understand what it is that will cause me to walk in victory? What is it you would teach me? What are the things I'm lacking? Because I don't even know enough to ask the right question. Well, so having said that, we were staying in this camper and we were visiting this lady, this friend, and I had said this prayer and said, Lord, I ask you to tell me what to read and what messages to listen to and what to study in the Word. And the woman that owned this house came downstairs the next day with a book in her hand. And she said, I cannot believe that the Lord is making me give you this book. She said, this is like giving you my firstborn child. It was her favorite book. She had no intention of giving it away. But because I had asked the Lord was having her give to me a particular book that was for me at that time in that season. And here's the other thing. Seasons change continually. So what you need now might not be what you'll need 3 years from now or 3 years ago, right? I had someone years ago give me a book. And to be honest, when I looked at the book, I thought it was just foofy. I just thought it was like a foo-foo book. And when I read it, it was all like ethereal and poetic. And I remember thinking, snore. And I threw it on the bookshelf. And about 2.5 years went by. And I was sitting in my living room, and there was the bookshelf and with hundreds of books. And this one book kind of went boing, you know, and I thought, uh-oh, the Lord is highlighting that book, the one I thought was foofy. Well, when I read it, I did read it because I knew it was the Lord, and this book was so perfect for the very moment that I was in. So God not only has the right book or teacher or message or Bible study for you to do, book of the Bible, chapter of the Bible, he has it in its perfect season, right? A word in due season. And so so I began to pray a little differently and ask the Lord to teach me. And one of the things he has done, I ask him fairly often about this, by the way, and so he in answer to that prayer, causes things to cross my path that I might not otherwise have run into. And so one of the things I do, though, is I listen to, you know, there. I'm just going to say this. I know this is general knowledge, but not everyone understands this. There are teachers in the body of Christ that are broad-based Bible teachers, and they don't go into the Bible to prove a specific point or master one subject. They go into the Bible to truly understand what it says. And they have a special gift, and they're very special people. And when you find one, they value them because they have the ability to study. Often these kind of teachers, it is easy for them to spend 16 hours studying a day. You know, just they love to study. They'd rather study than anything else. And it makes them phenomenal teachers, broad-based teachers that have a myriad of subjects that they can give you wisdom on. And so I really believe in listening to broad-based Bible teachers, and there are a number of them out there. I don't really want to name names. I will say this. Derek Prince, who is now with the Lord, was a broad-based Bible teacher. I believe that Andrew Womack is a broad-based Bible teacher, but there are many of them. But then there are special teachers that are also a gift to the body of Christ. The Bible talks about gifts. He gave gifts to men. Well, the gifts are not just spiritual gifts in a person. Sometimes the person is the gift, right? Sometimes a person is a gift to the body. And so sometimes these type of teachers may have a specialty that God has really given them a deep, in-depth understanding of one particular thing. So for example, Gary Cassie, he can teach a lot of things, but he really has an in-depth understanding of the financial realm. He studied it for years. God turned his entire financial life around, and now he turns people's lives around because that's his understanding. He has a very deep and profound understanding of it. There are people who have specialized only in healing. So don't ever criticize the body don't ever criticize a teacher because, well, they should have been teaching this or that. You do not know what people are called to teach, and you do not know their special life with the Holy Spirit, right? We don't know. You know, I've heard people criticize so-and-so because, well, they should have been teaching such-and-so. Listen, stay out of people's underwear drawer. We don't know what people are called to do, and we trust that when someone is teaching, they're doing the best that they can, and they may be teaching exactly what God has said, and it's none of our business. So there are people who are called to teach revival. There are people who are specialists in healing, and that's all they ever talk about. And you think, boy, don't they ever talk about anything else? No, and probably because they're not supposed to, because they're trying to bring the body of Christ to a new level in healing. Does that mean that's all you're supposed to study? No, but it may be for a season. I had a year and a half season where God put a teacher in my path. A year and a half, I tried to listen to other people and just couldn't do it. And it was like that year and a half, I was being filled and inundated with an understanding of the walk of the Spirit. And it became a huge foundation in my life. And then when it was like a, one day it was like, bong, I got it. And I was kind of honestly filled with that knowledge. And then it was like God flipped a switch and I just couldn't listen to that teacher anymore. They're as great as ever, but we were done with that. And then we moved into other seasons. What I'm asking you to do is ask the Lord what season you're in. And at each season, ask Him to help you know what you should be learning in this season. What's He trying to show you? And don't worry if your friend is studying something else. That may not be what you're supposed to do. You may be in a different moment, in a different season. And that's a good thing. So what you want to do is find out where you're supposed to be with God in this season. I remember one season I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to learn? And He gave me three teachers, and He said, in this next season, which lasted about 4 months, He said, I want you to listen to these three particular men. I want you to focus and listen to them and learn what they have. And it was stunning how much I learned, because, you know, here's a danger. I'm just going to say this. There's a danger when you've been a Christian for a while and you have some knowledge and maybe even start flowing in some anointing. There's a danger of thinking that you kind of know. And someone sends you a message and you go, I don't really want to listen to that. I know that. But you know what? Here's what I found. That is a trick of the enemy to keep you from going into God's realm. Because a lot of times, listen, I remember thinking, you know, I used to think I knew a little bit about walking in the Spirit. I mean, for pity's sake, I'd been doing it and teaching it for years and years and years. And I remember going to a conference and hearing these teachers. There were a number of teachers, and I'd never even heard of most of them. And I felt like my knowledge of the walk of the Spirit was like finger painting, like a little preschooler doing finger painting, and these guys were painting Monets. You know, I mean, honestly, I felt like I thought I knew a little bit, but I didn't. And so what I want to say is it's a trick of the enemy to make us feel like we have some knowledge. One thing God told me, He says, no matter how much I teach you, no matter how much I put in you, don't stop seeking, because I'm infinite. There's so much more that I have that I want to put in you and help you understand. And until you're walking in the infiniteness of God and His power and the word of His power and able to speak things with His power, and even then, we aren't there yet. And there's a trick of the enemy to get us to think, especially if we've been around a while and we've heard a lot of messages. There's a temptation to not press in, or to think, oh, you know, I don't want to listen to that guy. He's only been saved 2 years. Well, you know what? Sometimes somebody that has been saved 2 years has a revelation that I don't have. So God wants us to be more solid, more broad-based. How about Bible studies? I had someone say to me that they would open their Bible every day and they would ask God to lead them and say, oh God, you know, tell me what to go to. And I said, that is good. But they were frustrated because they didn't always hear. And I said, you know what I do? I said, I ask the Lord, what is it you want me studying? And sometimes He'll give me a subject or an idea to study that might take 2 to 3 months, right? So one time He told me to read Kings and Chronicles and compare them, right? He told me, so that's a lot of reading right there, and a lot of learning and a lot of studying. It took a long time. So I didn't have to go to Him every day and say, oh, what verse or what chapter do you want me to read today? It was like He wanted me to learn concepts in those books. And so ask the Lord what he would have you doing. Don't worry, again, don't worry if you don't hear his voice. He may have someone hand you a book. He may have someone hand you a CD or send you a link. But ask the Lord to disciple you, right? Because there's millions of believers, but very few true disciples. A true disciple is a follower of Jesus. There's a lot of believers who say, yes, I believe in you, Lord. You're my Savior, and I am thankful. You know, there's a lot of people who do that. But a true disciple, that's a different matter. That's not someone that just trusted in him for salvation and hopes he'll fix their problems and make life easier. A disciple is someone that says, I will follow you no matter what that costs me, right? And that's what Jesus asked us to do. And so a disciple sits at the feet of his master, whether that, and that may be through a book that the Lord puts in your hands, or it may be through a teacher that God has given as a gift to the body. But what you want is to be in the season that you're in with God, learning what he has for you. And if your friend goes off and takes a class that they're led to take, that's great. And it's not wrong to go take it, but where are you with God? What season are you in? Some people, I just feel led by the Spirit to say this, sometimes people are actually taken into a state of rest, and sometimes for months, and they feel like that's wrong because they're not producing great things. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're in a season of rest, savor it. Learn what you're supposed to learn in it, because in a state of rest, here's what happens. You're under the power of God, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not. In a state of rest, what happens is it's like being on the operating table where God takes you apart because you're not so busy running and performing and doing and creating and, you know, all that stuff. A deep state of rest, sometimes he'll actually disengage you, you know, more and more and more until you're in such a state of rest that he can change some things deep on the inside, deliver you or set you free or bring you to a new level, and then gradually, you know, build you back up to a place where you're doing again. Don't ever worry about that state of rest. Try to be in the season that God wants you in, right? And if you're too busy, pull back a little bit. You know, if you're so busy racing and running and doing and performing that you don't have peace and that you don't have time with the Lord, then you're too busy. And ask the Lord to help you to balance and prioritize, you know, delegate if you have to, but to find a center. Find the place of center where you're in him and you're balanced, because in that place, he does all things well, right? You know, you remember what he said to Martha, only one thing is necessary and Mary has chosen the better thing. And Mary was just sitting and listening. She wasn't doing and performing and cooking and baking and doing great things for Jesus. Those things are great, and there's seasons where we will do that. But here's what I've learned. You do that better out of a state of rest and balance and being centered in him, right? And when you're centered in him, everything just goes well. Everything goes better. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.